He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he lives. came to my rescue, and I want to be where you
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. So Easter Sunday is a time where we can gather together and have our friends and family close, and we share the gospel with them. So please welcome those around you and show them the love of Christ.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Happy Easter. Jesus has risen. God is not dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you all here today on this special day. I'm very honored to be the bulletin reader today. If you are visiting or new with us, please don't leave without saying hello to somebody. There'll be a beautiful young lady at the front reception desk today. She would be glad to spend some time greeting you and meeting you and giving you a small gift from us so that you can remember your visit with us. And there'll also be a bunch of sign-up sheets there. There's a lot of things going on in our inserts today. So make sure you read through all of those, and if something there catches your eye and you'd like to step out in faith and grow and find fellowship with other Christians, please do that. That is the place at the front. I'll just open with a quick word of prayer, and we'll get to our bulletin. Heavenly Father, we just are so amazed by your merciful grace and love for us. You created the universe, and you created us, and we have a special place in heaven with you, and it is through Christ's blood that we are afforded that special relationship with you. So God, today we just want to honor you and thank you, and we ask that you open our hearts to the word today, and just help us as we leave this place, do so in remembrance of the incredible sacrifice of your Son and the shedding of his blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So there are numerous things in the insert, but there are also many things in the bulletin today. Some events have been changed, their days and times. Some have been canceled, so make sure you read through all of those. I won't go through all of that. But I do want to talk to you a little bit. Since I was here last, many things have happened. We had the Sikorsky miracle, I'll call it. That was about 5 weeks ago. And God has always been teaching me on my journey, and I hope he does the same with you. I know he does. If you are listening and looking, and something that's happened recently for me and my small group is a question came up, and I'm sure it comes up with you individually or in groups or circles you're in. Why bad things happen to good people, or why bad things happen in general? I believe this is a very common question that comes up over and over again in different circles and at different times in our lives. And it recently came up in our Bible study, like I said. So after we discussed it for some time, we had various theories and opinions, but we settled on God's will be done. We know that God is in control and that it is God's will and that we need to trust God and that God will make good things come from the bad, whether it's suffering or the suffering of others, whatever that may be. We decided that we need to stand firm when these things happen and to praise him always in all things. I know this is not a huge revelation to us, but I am getting somewhere with this. So, of course, over the following 2 weeks, the subject would come up. Every time it did, whether it was something on the radio or something I read or a conversation with somebody, it would make me smile. And praise God each time for his teaching on this. Last night, for example, our small group went to see a play. It was called Free John, and it was in the city, and it was, of course, about John the Baptist, just before this event that we're celebrating here today. John had perished at the hand of Herod of Antipas, but before that, he spent many days in prison. And he longed to have Jesus come and rescue him from his burden in prison. And it was hard. It was a hardship for him. He felt that he'd been forgotten or perhaps abandoned by his cousin Jesus. And as time had gone by, and Herod liked to play a little cat and mouse game with John, it became very difficult for John. And John got a message one day that helped reassure God's plan for him and Jesus's plan for him. He sent the message in the form of a message from the Torah. It was a passage of scripture that had a small piece omitted, and it was about captives being set free. I believe it was Isaiah. And he knew then that Jesus wasn't coming. But also in that message, he learned that Jesus loved him dearly and had placed him in a very high standing in terms of the prophets that had come before him and the people that had done God's work in the past. And this brought John great comfort. And he knew then that God was in control, and the plans were made, and the story was written and told, and the ending was written. And that helped John immensely. And it made me think that Jesus had never rescued John at that point, just like God had never rescued Jesus on the cross. But there was a reason for that. They could have, but their missions weren't complete yet. They didn't need rescuing. They needed saving. Or John did, specifically. It became even clearer to me that Jesus doesn't rush to solve all of our problems and sorrows, nor does God. As Christians, we will suffer for Christ, but the good news is he has intervened for us. He has not rescued us, but he will save us, and he has saved us. He loves us. He loves those who suffer for him. So carry your cross bravely and boldly. Suffering is a badge of honor. Wear it with pride. In the name of love, Jesus gave all he had for you and for me. My daughter Sarah this morning, when I shared this with my family, she gave me a Bible verse that I thought was incredible. So I want to read it for you. It's 1 Peter 6 and 7. And it says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And that's why we're here today. So if I could call the ushers forward, we will pray for the people on the back and pray for our tithes and offerings. If you'd all bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we want to take this opportunity today on this very special day to pray for Alvina Penner, who is living at the West Park Lodge in Red Deer. Lord, we ask that she receives good care there, and the care is loving, and that she feels your presence always around her. And Father, we also want to pray for Maruf Gammon and his family as they adjust here to life in Linden. Lord, we just feel that or we hope that they feel the love and the acceptance of this community, and that we are more blessed by their presence here than they are by having us. And Father, we also pray for Doris Esau, who has been transferred to the Three Hills Hospital, God, as she is recovering from hip surgery. Lord, we just pray that her healing goes well, and that it is speedy, and that her caregivers there just take the best care of her too, Lord. And Father, we also pray for Ken Hall's brother, Gary, as he's finished his chemo and radiation treatments, Lord. And we pray not only for him, but for his family as he regains his strength after the surgery and suffers the side effects of all the chemo and radiation, God. Father, we also want to pray at this time for the Taves family, Clint and Jody, as they travel to Kansas recently, and that God, we just ask that you put your hand on the doctors there, that the treatments go well, and that Aaron endures the plane ride, and that it is a time of hope and encouragement. And we also pray for the rest of the family that is separated from mom and dad, and that their travels home are safe, and that the treatments are successful. And Father, we pray for our MP, Martin Shields, that he rules our community with godly wisdom and discernment, Lord. Just help him make good decisions on our behalf. And Father, we also want to pray for Aaron Kung, who is taking chemical engineering at the U of A. Lord, we know that it's a difficult course and it can be very stressful. God, we just ask that at that time, while he is growing intellectually, that he also grows as a Christian man, and that he has other Christians around him to help reaffirm his walk with you, Father. And God, we also want to pray for our missionary, Rebecca Hebert, as she's in Thailand. God, we just praise you for the first group that were a part of the discipleship training in January. God, we pray that their training will lead to greater gospel sharing in their communities. And God, we also pray that the new group of kids who have started coming to Sunday school there get to know you on a personal level and call you their Lord and Savior. And we also pray that on the follow-up happening with the university students, that they continue to hunger and thirst for more of your word and your love that they have been learning about and talking about. And Father, we also pray especially for Boat and Garn as they take leadership in this area. Father, we are just so thankful that five people in January took a huge leap of faith and were baptized, and that after that baptism that they continue to grow and begin to bear fruit, Lord, for you. And Father, we also want to pray for Rebecca herself, that she has safe travels, and that in those travels you speak to her clearly and give her the right message for the right church at the right time, God, and that all of her material needs are met to enable her to do that in a stress-free environment, and that you keep her safe as she travels and spreads the word, God. And now, Lord, we'd also like to spend some time this morning thanking you for all the blessings that you have given us, and that everything in this world rusts and deteriorates and decomposes, and the only thing that we can hold on to, God, is you. You are the only real and tangible thing. You are our anchor and our rock. And Father, we just, with glad hearts, give back a portion of what you have blessed us with here this morning, that the Linden Church can use this money wisely and help spread the good news that Jesus is alive. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello from Japan. This is Corey Giesbrecht, and my wife Masami is with me here. And since we've been here for 8 months, we thought it was about time we caught up with you via video. So we're just going to give you a brief update on what's going on here in our lives in Osaka, Japan.
For last 8 months, Corey has been learning Japanese. Our kids are adjusting to Japanese elementary school and kindergarten. Yeah, we are thankful that God has provided us with a place to live, church to attend, and friends to share our life with. And one of the surprise things we experienced here was also to meet non-Japanese friends. Since Japan is a monoculture country, we didn't expect to meet non-Japanese people, but it's interesting that God is making us to meet people from South Asia and also from Muslim country.
It's just been amazing to see how God has been providing for us and taking care of our kids. When we came out here, we took lots of risks, both financially and also with our kids, and we're just overjoyed to see the way that God has been working in their lives. We've just been amazed to see that, yeah, when we take risks with Jesus, that we see him at work in the real world. We see Jesus at work in our lives in ways that we never did before. And so, yeah, praise the Lord for that. Some of the things that we've been doing here ministry-wise is we've been working with the young people. We've been gathering together for worship and for prayer. Also, with some of the young people, we've been journeying into the downtown, into the poorer parts of town where the homeless people are, and we've been ministering to the homeless so that we can meet Jesus in a way that we never have before. We're looking forward to doing more of this in the future, to bring groups of Canadians and groups of Japanese together to minister to the needy and those who have been forgotten and abandoned by society. So please pray for Japan, pray for us and for our churches here, and we'll be staying in touch over the coming months.
All right, if I could have the kids come up to the front here. Now, this week is unusual in that we had two church services in the morning, and I know that some of you were at the church service on Friday morning in which we remembered that Jesus died for us. And if you were at that church service, I would like you to look up on the stage and see if you can tell me what has changed since Friday. Anyone see the difference? Yes, Brianne, did you see it?
The rock is pulled away from the tomb.
You're right. The stone has been rolled back. Why did we do that for today? Thomas?
Because God is alive and he's out of the grave.
That's right, because today we remember that Jesus came out of the tomb. When Jesus died, they wrapped him all up in grave clothes and then put him in the tomb. And then because they were afraid that somebody might steal Jesus, they put a big stone in front of the cave and sealed it, and then even had a guard all around the tomb to make sure that nothing bad would happen. And what happened is that there was a great earthquake and a bright light, and the angel of the Lord came down and rolled the stone away. And with that, of course, all the guards fled. They were terrified, and Jesus came alive. Do you think next year we should have a great earthquake for Easter? That would be appropriate. Yes, I think so too. Yes. We'll ask somebody to arrange that. All right. Let's thank the Lord for being alive. You fold your hands and close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that we can pray to you because you are alive. And though you were put to death for our sake, and that had to happen because of our sin, it was not the end of the story that you came alive again. And Lord, we praise you for your power, that you are even greater than death. We thank you for all your many gifts to us because you send them to us from your place in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's no Sunday school, so you'll go back to your parents. And very shortly, we're going to have a little video in which we show how Jesus rose from the dead.
Would you join with us again in worship?
believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon Him. Son of God was laid in. sing hallelujah. Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. Same love that set the captives free. The same love that opened eyes to see is calling us all by.
Same love that said.
On Friday, we watched a clip about the crucifixion of Jesus, and to our eternal benefit, the story did not end there.
After this, Joseph, who was from the town of Arimathea, asked Pilate if he could take Jesus' body. Joseph was a follower of Jesus, but in secret because he was afraid of the Jewish authorities. Pilate told him he could have the body, so Joseph went and took it away. Nicodemus, who at first had gone to see Jesus at night, went with Joseph, taking with him about 100 pounds of spices, a mixture of myrrh and aloes. The two men took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices, according to the Jewish custom of preparing a body for burial. There was a garden in the place where Jesus had been put to death, and in it there was a new tomb where no one had ever been buried. Since it was the day before the Sabbath, and because the tomb was close by, they placed Jesus' body there. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.
Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb. Saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her.
"They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him."
Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus.
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?"
She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him,
"If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him."
"Mary."
She turned toward him and said in Hebrew,
"Rabboni."
This means teacher.
"Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God."
So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them.
"Peace be with you."
After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
"Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you."
Then he breathed on them.
Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord."
"Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe."
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
"Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe."
"My Lord and my God."
"Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him,
The scripture reading today comes from Matthew 28, 1-8. If you're reading from the story, it's found on page 382, on the beginning of the second last paragraph, and goes to 383, the break in the page. "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?' There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples."
Thanks, Ryan. Reading the story again out of the story, I was reminded again how these stories are just filled with excitement and the spirit of wonder and amazement. Even in the writers themselves, how they tell the story, you can tell that they are It's almost scrambling to catch up to what just happened. When I was in seminary, it was shown to me how when the gospel writers, and that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story about Jesus' life and his death, then they are very careful to map it against what has been shown in the Old Testament to show how the whole Old Testament points toward this Jesus of Nazareth, how Jesus is fulfilling all the hopes and expectations that have been set out in the Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament. But when it comes to the resurrection, it's as if they're just not ready to make that mapping onto the Old Testament, as if this was such a new thing to them that it will take them some time to incorporate it into the bigger story. So there's no pointing back to Old Testament verses. They are just saying, here's what happened. Here's what people said. Now, there was one, though, who knew exactly what was going on and why this resurrection was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. There was one. And it happened this way. There were two disciples who on Easter day were traveling back from Jerusalem to their hometown in Emmaus. And a third man joined them, a stranger. And the stranger says to them, "What are you talking about?" And the two disciples say, "Are you the only one in all Jerusalem who is not talking about what has been taking place?" And the stranger says, "Tell me, what things?" "Well," then they said to him, "there was this Jesus who was doing all of these powerful works and deeds, and they put him to death. And this morning it was found out that the grave was empty. And not only that, women, Mary and Martha, whom we know, are saying that angels talked to them and said that Jesus had risen from the dead. And we don't know what to make of this." "Well," the stranger says, "why are you so surprised?" And then this stranger begins to go through the whole Old Testament, Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures, the Bible says, and to tell the disciples how it must be that it turns out in this way, how the Messiah had to rise from the dead. It shouldn't be a surprise to you. Well, these two disciples were amazed by this teaching. And so when they arrived at their house in Emmaus, they invited the third man in and said, "Come and have supper with us." And so he came in with them. And he broke the bread and he prayed. And the eyes of the two disciples opened and they realized that they had been talking to Jesus himself. Jesus then disappears and the two disciples say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us?" And that's kind of what this story is about. It's about excitement and burning hearts. And I still get goosebumps telling the story. And even just watching it here, you know, it just things well up inside. It is such an amazing story that Jesus, who died, rose from the dead. As I was reading along in our chapter, there was a phrase that stopped me, and maybe it stopped you too. And it's all scripture. The line is this. Oh, let me set it up. Jesus has come to them, and he is showing them the wounds on his hands and his feet in order to prove that, to them that indeed he is Jesus. And he says, "Give me something to eat so that I can show you that I'm not a ghost." And then it says, "They did not believe it because of joy." They did not believe it because of joy. It was like a level of joy that they had never known in their life, and they weren't quite sure whether they could get to that level of joy. And they were just really struggling to grasp how good this was. I think it's like a person who has spent his whole life driving the speed limit, and in fact, never in his life driven faster than 100 kilometers an hour. And he comes to this stretch of highway that is smooth and broad and long and straight. And there's a sign that says, "Please do not drive slower than 200 kilometers an hour." And this person just thinks, I've never done that. You know, is it safe? Can I do this? It sure sounds like a lot of fun. I would sure like to do it, but I don't know. It sounds kind of crazy. Should I? Could I? Would I? And I think that that's kind of what the disciples were feeling there. You know, people just don't come back from the dead. We'd sure like them to. We'd sure like our Jesus to be back with us. He was such a good master, such a good friend. Oh my, it'd be so good if he really was alive. Can I really have enough joy to get there? Yes, they should believe it. And we should believe it too, that our Jesus, he lives. It is a joy to us too because we are all destined for death, but because of Jesus' resurrection, it is not an ultimate end. Because of Jesus, we know that we too will rise from the dead. Now, because we live a long time, maybe we don't think about death all the time. But because we do live a long time, it means that when handicaps come into our life, we have to learn to cope with them for years and even decades. And I know that when I was 7 years old, I went to the eye doctor and I got my first set of glasses. And for 38 years, I have been wearing them, putting them on in the morning, taking them off in the evening. And I just get used to it. I'm a guy who wears glasses. And if I live another 38 years, it'll be the same thing. But someday, I'm going to have perfect eyesight again. And I will not be wearing this, and I will see you as clear as can be because I will be in my resurrection body. And that is the hope that Jesus gives. Now, that's just eyesight. I mean, many of you have things that are situations that you have come to cope with because, and they're even more serious than that. Diabetes and weak hearts and lungs that aren't working so well and on and on. And you will have to live with those things for a long time, but it's not forever. And this is kind of a day of uncoping. We refuse to cope with these things because it's not the last word about me. There's a day when I will have the perfect body. And what a joy that will be. Not only physically, but we all grow up with an ache in our heart. It's a product of growing up in a fallen world that we have doubts and insecurities and temptations, and they've been with us for a long time and likely will be with us for a long time to come. That flaw in our spirit, hole in our heart, but that too will not be forever. There's coming a day when it too shall be gone. And we will be made complete. And no more hiding, which is the source of all our shame. And this wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." And that too is something to look forward to. It's a day of great joy and excitement. I know that it'd be appropriate for me to dance a little jig for you, but I am too much of a Mennonite to do that. However, this Mennonite has taken a lot of piano lessons, and I thought I would just work up a little piano solo for you just to do something joyful. And it's called Great is the Lord. If you don't know the words, then hopefully the spirit of the song is fitting to this day of great joy. Thanks. Go ahead.
Bless this morning as you go about your day.